As a way of honoring the gospel, let us stand. Today's reading is from the book of John, chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate, the gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow. Because they are familiar with his voice, they follow him. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good, sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go out, go in and out, and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. The word of the Lord.
So a few months ago, we were having some Meet the Pastor socials, and it was wonderful to have some time in various church members' homes with, I don't know, 10 or 12 people to share some stories about our relationship with this wonderful church, and it was great for me to get to know some of you. One of the Meet the Pastor socials that I remember quite vividly was at the Palmas house. John made some great homemade pizza in the pizza oven, and after we all had our fill, we went into the Palmas living room and sat around. Now, this was geared towards the youth, and this was soon after Vacation Bible Camp, and so there was about 20 or 25 youth who were at this particular Meet the Pastor social, and we sat around the living room, we ate some great desserts, and we had a name game. I think it was, what is your name and your favorite album, or something, who do you listen to on your iPod or your iPhone or whatever? And then we opened it up to questions, and one of the youth said, How did you know you wanted to be a pastor? It was great. And I remember sensing that that person really wanted to know and didn't want me to just give a pat answer. And so I shared them a little bit about my call. And afterwards, I remember Karen Berry saying, wow, we weren't quite expecting to be on such holy ground in conversation, but there you have it. Holy conversation and brownies do go well together. I want to reflect on that just a bit, because this passage from John talks about call. How do we discern the voice of the Good Shepherd? How do we discern the voice of God? I was blessed to be raised by good and faithful parents. My mom and dad valued being followers of Jesus. They valued going to church. They valued bringing their kids to church, even on those days where at least this kid was sometimes reluctant to go. I was raised in a church, the Grace United Methodist Church, very similar in some ways to the Chatham United Methodist Church, by a congregation and pastor, Reverend Bob Duncan, and many associate pastors, all of whom saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, all of whom had a different understanding of what it meant to follow Jesus. And this congregation and these pastors loved me into being. When I was about 16, I think I remember wondering if God was calling me into the ministry, into the ordained ministry. I wasn't sure, and as a 16-year-old, I certainly didn't want to be held accountable to what a pre-pastor might look like or behave like. So I just kind of quietly took note and asked a few people. Actually, I remember asking the same question to a few pastors and associate pastors. How did you know that you wanted to be a pastor? How did you know it was God calling you? Fast forward a few years. I graduated from Drew undergrad just down the road here. And I began asking myself the question, where is home? Sometimes we go through seasons in our lives where we ask that question, where is home? I received a Fulbright scholarship to go and study in Germany and to teach there. And so I had that year to ask that question, where is home? Did God want me to live in Germany? Did God want me to live in America? Did God want me to do various things in international relations or international business or perhaps ministry of some kind? Before I started my teaching responsibilities, I had a few weeks to travel, and so I put on my backpack and I was traveling up through Scandinavia. I remember taking the red eye. It was a cheap way to sleep. You catch a train that you get on at night and you sleep until the train arrives in the morning, and then you don't have to pay for a youth hostel. I was on a budget. I still am on a budget. and I arrived in Bergen, Norway, as the sun was coming up, but it only came up for a little bit, and then it poured. And by the time I got to the youth hostel to drop off my backpack, I was soaked, my pack was soaked. And so I went out to the wharf. It's a fishing village on the west coast of Norway, just a little bit south of the Arctic Circle. That's how high up it was. And I remember buying some bread and some cheese. That was the meal of the day back then. Some bread and cheese and maybe some salami. And I remember sitting out on a wharf watching the ships come in and out. And it was still pouring. I saw a hill up above the city. I thought, well, that would be a good vantage point for a view. I love views. So I walked up to this. It was kind of a mountain. I didn't walk all the way up, but I got about halfway up, and there was a little bench with an overhang over it. Still raining. I was so tired. I hadn't slept very much on the train ride. I lied down on the bench, and then the sun came out for the first time in a while, and it shone on half of my face. Half of it was shaded by the overhang, and so the sun was shining on half of my face, and I heard a voice that I did not hear with my ears, but I heard it somewhere within me that said, put your whole face in the sun. Put your whole face in the sun. And I didn't think much of it. I put my whole face in the sun, and I went to sleep. I woke up, and then I began to realize what that voice was saying. It wasn't about the sun, S-U-N. It was about the sun, S-O-N. Put your whole face in the sun. I had been involved in Christian ministry, but I'd been dabbling in it. I'd been half in and half out. I'd been committed, but not a life commitment. And this was God's quiet way, I discerned moving forward, to say, put your whole self into the call. Put your whole self into the church. Your church is your true home. It was the answer to the question that I had struggled with. Where is home? And God was saying in that, your home is in the church. Now, how do we discern the voice of God? How do we discern whether it's a God call or just an idea or just a thought? As I understand the mystery of call, and I don't, but what little I understand, is that there are two kinds of calls. There's an inner call and an outer call. The inner call is that still, small voice of God that speaks to us and has spoken to people throughout history. The outer call is what the community of faith discerns. What does the body of Christ say about, is this really a call from God? And they can affirm, they can say yes, they can say no, they can say not yet. And the churches that I went to after that, at the Morristown United Methodist Church, the pastor there, Jim White, and a number of associate pastors. And that congregation helped me discern that God was indeed calling me to be an ordained pastor. And I am so grateful for those people. And some churches have that charism of helping people identify a call. I sense that Chatham is one of those churches. Chatham UMC has helped people discern God's call not only to ordained ministry, but to so many different expressions of Christian ministry as an ordained person and as lay people. And so I am thrilled to be in your midst in this season of life because God still calls people to do ministries that are profound, that are life-changing, and that change the world. One of the identifying marks of a call is that it's not just about us. A true call from God affects everyone, affects the people around us in ways that are loving and just and gracious. You know, sometimes I sense that in this increasingly secular world, we need to sensitize our ears or the ears of our hearts to the call of the Good Shepherd simply to follow Jesus. Because on any given Sunday, there are many voices calling for our attention, calling for us to go there or here, but we need to tune the ears of our hearts to the voice of Jesus saying, come and worship with other followers of Jesus. And when we can tune our ears and the ears of our hearts to that voice, good things can happen. The early church was wrestling with how to discern the voice of God. What is the voice of God and what is the voice of someone else who may not have our best interest in mind? And Jesus, in the Gospel of John, addresses that. At the time, the historian Josephus writes that there were many people proclaiming to be the Messiah. Many people who said, if you follow me, you'll be saved. And Jesus addresses them in, I'm reading from the Message, he calls them sheep rustlers. Now, in this conversation that Amanda began reading in chapter 10, this is a continuation of chapter 9 where he's talking to the Pharisees. And he says to the Pharisees, you're blind. And they say, we're not blind, we can see. And he says, the fact that you say you can see means you're blind. And so this is a continuation of this saying that there are people who would rather discern God's voice as a legality and not a voice of love. And the Pharisees weren't doing that. If it's not within the law, if it's not within the rules, it's not of God. And Jesus was always saying, but love is bigger than your rules. Love is more important than your rules. Love is the language of God. And the Pharisees and Jesus had some good and interesting conversations about that. Jesus says, the gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He goes on to say, I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good, sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. Now, Jesus does not judge those who don't follow his voice, but here's what he offers to those who do follow his voice to follow him. He says, those who follow the voice of the shepherd will be cared for, followers of Jesus. This is the promise of God. For we who are trying to follow Jesus as faithfully as we can, we will be cared for. It doesn't mean we'll be exempt from problems. We will not be exempt from suffering. But we will be cared for. And then Jesus says, those who listen to the voice of the shepherd will be able to go freely in and freely out. There is freedom that Christ offers us as followers of Jesus. We can say yes. We can say no. God will still love us. God may give us opportunities to walk through a certain door that will be good for us and good for others, and we may be so caught up in fear that we can't walk through that door. We have the freedom to go through or not go through. But the Good Shepherd gives us that freedom and understands the quandary of that freedom and continues to give us that freedom of choice. Will we come to church on Sunday morning? Or will we not? God loves us nonetheless, but God wants us with the fold, with others, so that we can tune our ears to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And then the last thing he offers, he says, those who follow the voice will find pasture. How many of us in this culture live in a spirituality of scarcity, a fear that there will not be enough, a fear that at the end of the day there won't be enough, you fill in the blank, enough money, enough love, enough community, enough knowledge, enough wisdom, enough patience, enough, you know. When we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, there's always enough. And we move from a model of scarcity to a model of abundance. In fact, at the very end of this passage, Jesus says, I have come so that they may have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. So how do we recognize that voice? I remember visiting parents in NICUs in hospitals where their babies were sometimes born prematurely, or the babies had some significant health problems and they needed special medical care. Some of you may have been there, and this may bring back some memories of difficult times, because it is so troubling to see little babies in one of those clear glass containers where sometimes they allow you to put your hands through a hermetically sealed hole and you can have gloves on and caress the baby, and sometimes all you can do is speak to the baby. I've seen parents speak through that glass container to their babies. And I've seen babies who are visibly upset become calmed and comforted just by hearing the voice of the one they heard in the womb. The voice of a mother, the voice of a father that says, I'm with you. I love you. You're going to be okay. Just the tenor of that voice calms the baby down. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to listen for that voice. The voice who knew us in the womb, in our mother's wombs. The voice that whispered to us then, that whispered to us when we were babies and toddlers and children, but a voice that perhaps we have a hard time hearing now. And so, with the ears of our hearts, let us listen for that voice that calls us beloved sons, beloved daughters. Let us listen in the stillness for the voice that says, I'm with you. I love you. Do not be afraid. A voice that says, together, We can do this. Let us be still and listen for that voice, that loving voice of the Good Shepherd.